welcome you into Flowery Branch for a one-hour visit here on the Coach's Show with Dave Archer, Wes Durham, and our player guest will be James Stone coming up at the bottom of the hour. Falcons fall to Pittsburgh yesterday. 27-20 is the final at the Dome. But Atlanta's next 120 minutes of football determined postseason in a lot of stretches, in a lot of respects. And it'll get started on Sunday at 1 o'clock. We'll be at the Louisiana Superdome for the second meeting between the Falcons and Saints. You got to go all the way back to week one. Man, can a lot happen in a 15-week span, Smitty. I mean, with both these teams. I mean, New Orleans has played, obviously, the balance of their season, as have your club. And yet, we get to what you always talk about, meaningful games in the month of December.
Absolutely. There's been almost an entire NFL season played since the last time that we met. But it's a very competitive NFC South division again. And what the schedule makers want, they're getting. It's going to come down to some very interesting football over the next 2 weeks. And it starts for us anyways in New Orleans.
Smitty, the records didn't say this, 8-5 versus 5-8 yesterday, but what I saw were two really evenly matched football teams, two really good offensive units, two good quarterbacks that can sling it around the yard, and who's going to blink first? And I know we want to, it seems like in the media and the fans, we want to boil it down to one particular play. Very difficult to do that in a 60-minute football game. But your overall impressions, the way, first of all, your defensive side of the football handled probably the number one priority, and that was taking away Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I thought we did a very good job yesterday in terms of stopping Bell, especially in the run game. They had 45 yards rushing, a 2.0 per carry. I thought we won the line of scrimmage, dominated the line of scrimmage in the run game, and that was important. We felt like we had to do that. We did let him out for an explosive pass. We had an issue in terms of man-to-man coverage on a third down there in the first quarter, and had a tough play there. But I thought that we did a very good job in stopping the run. We've got to be a little bit better in our pass defense. But Le'Veon Bell, we were going to make sure that he wasn't going to be the guy that ran crazy like he had the last 3 weeks with 200 yards in total offense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he finished, I think, 20 carries, 47 yards, and 45 yards. Of course, Roethlisberger lost two on an attempt there. But 20 for 47 is an unbelievable number just on a guy who had been as lethal as he's
been.
Yeah,
three consecutive games of over 200 yards of offense. The only other guy done that is Walter Payton. So that tells you what kind of rarefied air Le'Veon Bell had been in over the last three games. So you took – that was number one priority, and it always is, to take away the run. You obviously wanted to establish some run game yourself against the defensive front that gives you multiple looks. With what Dick LeBeau does defensively, how much did that create a problem with your running game and trying to sort out how many different people coming from different angles?
Yeah, well, Coach LeBeau is very very good at giving different looks, and he changes up each week. I thought that we did a very good job in terms of running the ball early. We got Steven rolling. Then we got down by 13, and it changes the mindset a little bit. But I thought that we did a good job. We had some one-offs where we missed a block here, missed a block there on some identification in terms of the run blocking. But I thought on the flip side, we did a very good job in our pass protection against the Pittsburgh's defense. They give you a lot of different looks, and I thought that Matt and James Stone, our center, did a very good job. We didn't give up a sack. Now, we got Matt hit a couple of times. But you know that was Matt being the guy that's going to hold it to the last second on a couple of those throws, and it just reiterates how tough Matt Ryan is. But I thought our offensive line did some good things.
I think the play that obviously the fan and the media want to point to is the interception. It was the only turnover in a game, and Matt gets a hard inside man technique against the corner who's playing way off. Harry running the deep end route. I'm sure he's anticipating his receiver to break across the face of the defensive back. Pretty good break on the ball by Yay. As you broke that play down, what did you see, Smitty?
I think you described it very well there in terms of what took place. I think that what's often lost is it's nobody's fault. It's not one person. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that go, go into, a play being successful or being unsuccessful. The thing that I was more concerned about is that we got to get the guy on the ground. If they intercept the football, we can't have him running it back, on a pick six. And we had some opportunities to get the guy on the ground. And when you get him on the ground, you never know what's going to happen. And we had an opportunity a couple of times on that return. So we weren't in sync. Again, and there's a number of factors that go into why a ball is not completed. But the thing that I definitely was concerned about was we got to get the ball on the ground when we throw an interception and give our defense an opportunity to hold them to a field goal attempt, potentially match the turnover and get the ball back and give it to the offense.
I know you talked about this in your comments with the media a moment ago, and that is the last couple of ball games have not started the way you want these games to start. You want to start faster, put some points on the board. You've been exceptional in that particular respect in your 7 years here. Do you look at things in terms of the way the plays go out, the way you start? I mean, how does that go back? When you go self-scout that particular portion of a game, where do you begin, I guess?
Well, I think you look at what took place, and we started off very, very fast running the ball. We knocked out two quick first downs, and then we had two incompletions. And there's a lot of things that go into those incompletions. I think you'll look at if you look at one of them, it started with the snap. And people don't realize that the snap was down at the ankle of our quarterback, and it wasn't right. It wasn't a clean snap. All they're concerned about is and focused on is maybe the throw and the wide receiver, but there's other factors involved, and everybody, contributes to it. And some of the times, the fan don't necessarily see or they don't know what we were trying to do and what the player was supposed to be doing. So we've got to be more consistent. When we start the game, the last two games we have not been very consistent. Now, the first five plays in the ball game, it was really good. We were running the ball. We had a third down, completed the little Orlando or outside route to Devin Hester over on their sideline to get the first down. We had a Harry Douglas coming under. We were rolling, and then we hit the situation where we didn't convert on a second or third down.
It's been a key moment in the game for me, and that got you back in the football game was you get the ball back after the interception, down 13-0. You move the ball to a couple of first downs, then have to punt the football. And now here's Pittsburgh with the ball, who'd moved it pretty well in the first quarter, although it had to settle for field goals, up 13-0 with a potential to take a stranglehold on the game, and you get a three and out.
Yes.
The defense comes in and gets a stop.
We did, and that to me was that was a critical point in the ball game because it could have opened the floodgates. Our guys, I know we weren't going to quit, but it's tough to come back when you're down more than two scores. And at that point in time, we still were two scores put us in the lead. And I thought that three and out was indicative of the way that our guys played on defense, especially up front, as I mentioned earlier, in terms of the physical dominating play, especially in the run game, because Todd Haley and Mike Tomlin, the coordinator and head coach, they wanted to come in there and run the football. I mean, that was something that they felt like that they needed to do.
Well, that resilience carried over to the next drive, Wes, and you go the length of the field and score. Ryan takes a big shot in the middle of that drive, and because there's some delays and they were trying to figure out the penalty, I think it kind of gave Matt a chance to kind of get his breath a little bit because he took a big shot, regardless of whether you think it was a penalty or not, and that's debatable, whatever it was. But you get the extra yardage, and then Matt makes as good a throw as I think I've seen him make to Devin Hester for the touchdown.
Yeah, it was really showing Matt's toughness to be able to get up, and I can assure you that was the correct call because it's what they called. They threw the flag. It was the correct call. Matt's head definitely went back, and it was helmet to helmet contact around the or it was contact around the head and neck area. And Matt was able to shake that off. Just, again, shows how tough he is, and come back and finish the drive off. And that was a heck of a route by Devin and a perfect throw by Matt in the far corner over there on their sideline in the end zone.
Falcons head coach Mike Smith, of course, with us in this first half hour of the Coach's Show, live from Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, with Dave Archer, West Durham, Atlanta, and New Orleans coming up on Sunday at the Superdome with a 1 o'clock start. Second half, I know the thing that we've talked about in the last couple of weeks, red zone opportunities. You end up with field goals and not touchdowns. Those are the kind of things that just kind of linger with you a little bit, don't they?
They do. Situational football is so important. On both sides of the football, we had two drives that stalled in the red zone, and we ended up kicking field goals. And when you kick field goals instead of score touchdowns, you know that's 8 points. You know, and we can't play the what if game, but that's 8 points that we that we left on the table. And then the other thing that we didn't do well yesterday, and it's been something that we've not done like we need to on the defensive side of the ball, is we gave up a 2-minute score the last drive of the first half, and then we had the 4-minute drive there in the second half where we thought we had the stop and we're going to force the punt, but there was a penalty, and it kept the drive alive, and then we weren't able to get the ball back to our offense. But we had we had them stopped. And we weren't able to, with the penalty, we weren't able to get the stop. In those two-minute situations before the half, when you give up touchdowns before the half on a two-minute situation, statistically, it doesn't bode well for you. And, we had that opportunity to make a couple of stops.
You talk to your DBs every week about what the officiating crews do. You try to give them as much information as what their temperament is, what potentially they're going to call, what their history's been. Even with all that stuff, and a more of a general term, I'm not going to ask you to talk about the Desmond Trufant penalty, which I thought was horrendous. We'll ask you about the consistency of it and how difficult it is to coach around how touchy that's become, and really the subjectivity you're seeing within the call, because it doesn't seem as consistent as it needs to be.
I'll just
less than 1 minute.
I'll say this to in this session, the first session, It's tough to officiate in the NFL, just like it's tough to coach in the NFL. But we strive for consistency. I know that the league does each and every week, and those guys are out there doing their damnedest to call the game the way it's supposed to be called.
Well said. Well said.
There's a lot of gray in the gray area.
There's a lot of gray in the gray area.
That's exactly right. When we come back, we'll focus on the NFC South. Falcons and Saints. You may have heard this one tends to be a little extra steam in the shovel, as they say. We'll talk about Atlanta's trip to New Orleans on Sunday with head coach Mike Smith when the Coach's Show continues after this break on Sports Radio 92.9.
Falcon fans, you get to save big at Kauffman Tire after every game. For each quarter the Falcons score, you save $40. Now, the Falcons scored in three quarters yesterday. That's $120 of savings today only on a set of four new tires. Go see the store for details. Top Kauffman Tire, the tire guys you can trust.
And back with Coach Mike Smith. James Stone, really one of the more fascinating stories about this 2014 Falcon campaign, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour in our players segment. Look forward to talking to the rookie free agent from Tennessee. We were just noting here during the break, talking about New Orleans, Smitty. Not a lot of changes here for the Saints. Jairus Byrd, particularly on defense, Jairus Byrd's out for the year. He got hurt. Broderick Buntley out for the year. But outside of that, they're pretty much whole from when you saw them in game one.
Yes, it's going to be very similar to the same group that played us in the first week of the season. And, Rob Ryan, the defensive coordinator, he'll have some wheeling and dealing going on in terms of trying to create some confusion on the defensive side.
Well, and when they look at you guys, you're going to look dramatically different up front, certainly. When you talk about James Stone, we just mentioned, at center, Ryan Schrader at right guard. Obviously, we'll find out about John Osamoa as the week moves forward, will he be able to participate in the game. So speaking about James Stone in particular, Smitty, and you've sung his praises a number of times, a rookie free agent coming in, probably just trying to make a football team. I was there at one point, just trying to make a team, and here you are. He's going to be starting his eighth game on Sunday. Talk about, I mean, how difficult that is in itself just to come in and start for an NFL team, but then to contribute at the center position.
Yeah, James is a great story in terms of coming in and doing what he's supposed to do. He's done everything that we've asked, and he's very cerebral in terms of understanding defensive looks, and that's what the center has to be able to do. He's got to be able to redirect some things and make calls just like the quarterback has to do. And James is a very athletic guy. He's got good size. He's got really strong arms and upper body, and he's got good quickness, and that's what you want in a center. And Mike Tice went and worked a couple of guys out there, and he came back. I can remember coming back and saying, man, there's something about this kid. And, the grades on him were free agent grades, and he ended up signing with us after the draft. And, shoot, he earned a spot on the 53-man roster. Sometimes you think, okay, well, maybe we can get him on the practice squad and develop him, a guy like that.
Right.
Shoot, it became very apparent very quickly that not only could he play center, but he could play guard.
You mentioned arm strength. Tell me about hand strength and the ability to snap it left and right-handed, because that doesn't happen every day either, right?
No, it doesn't. It does not. And he can snap the regular snaps under center right and left-handed shotgun snaps, because I believe he's a left-handed guy. I've had one other left-handed center, but what we did is we changed him over to a right-handed center, and now his punch was with his dominant hand. And that was many, many years ago in college. But, yeah, that's a little bit unusual. But James has done a very good job with our shotgun snaps, and the majority of our snaps in the season have been out of the shotgun.
Smitty, how's a guy like, and I know the center position, when you start talking about draft, you don't see a lot of centers drafted. Occasionally, if somebody is just exemplary, Dave Remington, you're going to take a center. But it's that one position that kind of you feel like you can find a guy to play that position, or you're going to be able to get a guy later on potentially to play the position. How does a guy like – is it simply because when you look at the measurables, they don't necessarily match up? Is that how James Stone falls to a free agent pick?
Gosh, I don't really know the answer to that. I do know this. There's only one position at the center. When you've got a guard, you've got two guards, you've got two tackles, and – it seems to be when you find a center and you've got a center, he stays. There's some longevity in that position. I think if you look at it, you'll see that there's a bunch of them that are playing for a whole lot of time. And I think it's hard to unseat the center, because I think there's a comfort level usually on most teams.
Yeah, I would think that the quarterback, I can speak to that specifically. You like a guy, I had a chance to play with a guy named Jeff Van Note. And there's there's a comfort zone that you just kind of, Noter is
– But there again, undrafted guy.
Yeah, and it's just – look at, Todd McClure, who played here for 14 seasons. He was a seventh-round draft pick at the back end of the draft, a guy that came in. But you're exactly right. It seems like maybe the quarterback has a little bit to say with the guy, how comfortable he is with him as well.
Well, the other thing I thought about in all this was, here he is. He comes onto the field for the first time in New York. Okay, I mean, really, he's active for a couple games but doesn't get on the field. Then all of a sudden, he comes in a line of play in New York. Then all of a sudden, because of the injury situation, he ends up, taking a bunch of reps in Baltimore. And then all of a sudden, he's starting in London. And you mentioned, his cerebral approach and how smart he was and just the ability to kind of process all this. Boy, that really helps him in that three-week stretch, I got to believe, that four-week stretch of football. I mean, because he goes from, wondering if he's going to be active on a Sunday to taking the first rep.
Yes, and he
– a lot changes there, not just in this complex. A lot changes in your life when that happens.
Absolutely, and he ended up, started in New York playing – not started, but playing some guard.
Yeah.
He had to go in because of, injuries and had to play guard. And then, of course, after the injury to Pete there in Baltimore, James had to come in and step in, and he's done a very good job. And I really believe that group has matured. I think it's now the sixth week that they've played. Mm-hmm. We've had the same offensive line. As you know, the first the first 5 weeks or so in the season, we were going through offensive linemen, you know, very quickly. But we've kind of stabilized, and those guys have done a very good job for us.
How much stuff did you see Sunday, Smitty, that Dick LeBeau dialed up that might have been a little bit different than what you may have saw on tape? I know he's really good at bringing the delay stuff from the second level when you're pretty much set your protections.
Yeah, you can just about count that there's going to be a handful of unscouted looks. Coach LeBeau has forgotten more football than most coaches in this league. He's been doing it forever, and he has a system that's tried and tested and true, and he'll mix it up, and you just about can guarantee that there's going to be something that's unscouted or that's not on your breakdown. Of course, he's been doing it for so long. He's got such an inventory of ways to attack you, and he did it a couple of times, and I thought we handled it fairly well. To play the Pittsburgh Steelers and have no sacks, the offensive line and the tight ends and the running backs did a good job in their pickups.
He gets a pretty good movement from number two too. He made a couple of unbelievable runs that were a little uncharacteristic for him.
He did. I think he had two really good runs in the ball game that would be considered an explosive run. And
yeah, often that term doesn't go with him.
Explosive run. But he'll surprise you, and I thought he's done that's something that he's done throughout the season that has helped us. He's been able to scramble for some first downs, and that helps.
I don't think he liked the term I used a couple of weeks on radio when I said sneaky athleticism, right? Smitty, the run of 3-4s continues this week. I mean, my goodness, you're kind of on the bandwagon a little bit, right? I mean, you played all sorts of 34 fronts, and you're going to see another one this week from New Orleans. But there are a lot of things that go into this kind of ball game. What early on the week here? What's your punch list look like when you talk about the Saints?
1 minute.
Well, you have to go through real quickly. It all starts with Drew Brees.
Sure,
absolutely. Mark Ingram's running the ball much better than he was earlier in the season. He's probably going to end up with 1,000 yards before the season's over. He's close. Over 800 yards, and then of course stopping Jimmy Graham. That's going to be critical for us. As Jimmy is a matchup disaster for defenses. It's just hard to have a guy that can do that. But we're looking forward to it. I know we just have a couple seconds here. We need to have the Atlanta fans down in New Orleans like those Pittsburgh Steelers fans were here in our dome. We need to go down there and try to take that damn dome over. That's what we need to do.
All right, Coach, thanks as always for the visit on a Monday. Falcons head coach Mike Smith with us live from Flowery Branch. Stay tuned. James Stone's coming up next as the Coaches Show continues on Sports Radio 92.9.